Hey everyone, I am so super excited about today's webinar because this is where the real fun begins. This is where I'm going to take you down the road of the business side of things, what you're actually going to be doing when you're sitting there working with an individual. And truly, why this is one of my favorite parts of this whole program is because this webinar teaches you really what this is all about, why I started doing this in the first place. I mean, sitting down with somebody and talking to them one-on-one, even if there's just this much I can help them or there's this much I can help them with their nutrition and diet. I mean, this is what really just gets me excited because I know if I can help that one person just a tiny bit be a little bit healthier, I know I've accomplished something huge. I know I'm changing their lives. And you know what? I love when they then come in and say, you know, I told my wife this, or my child's now doing this, or they tell a coworker something. So I know when I reach somebody and I help them make a difference in their lives and improve their health, it's trickling on to other people. And that's why this webinar I'm so excited about, because I want to help you do that for people. So by me helping you do that with other people, and then they can help more people live a healthier, more nutritious life, we are together, you and I are together helping as many people as possible live their most nutritious life. Okay, so session one, what are you going to do with that person when they get into your office? It's hard enough to get them into your office or into your training studio or into your home or where, or into the coffee shop or wherever you see people. That's difficult enough, but once you get them there, what are the few things you need to focus on? Before the first session and during the first session, there's a few things you need to think about. Think BDI, business, develop a relationship, and then the intake. And they all kind of work together. The first one, the business part of things, is my least favorite. I have to admit it. I don't like talking about money. I don't like dealing with it. I don't like going through it. I just try to avoid it, basically. And now, luckily, I have someone in my office that helps me deal with that. But regardless if you're the one that is handling the cost of the program, what your cancellation policy is, you need to have a protocol. And that is very important to have a protocol so you can follow through with that, especially if you have a difficult time handling it. For me, I don't put prices on the website, and I also don't put prices through email. Very rarely will I do that. And that is because I always feel like it's super important to speak with someone on the phone for a couple different reasons. One, I don't want to just give a rate and not tell someone exactly in detail everything we're going to do together. I really like to use that opportunity on the phone, whether it's myself or someone working in my office, to talk to that person, to explain really what this person is going to get. Because what you're going to get when you do my Nutritious Life program is different than just maybe going to an office and getting some nutrition education. You're going to get this whole complete Nutritious Life plan. And I want people to really understand that and understand that we're going to be partners. It's also important to talk to someone on the phone, not just so you can, you know, rattle off all the wonderful things that you're going to do for them, but that's a time when you can start to develop the relationship part of this. When you speak with somebody, it's not just about, oh, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z for you. It's, what do you need? Why do you want to come and see me as for nutrition information? Why do you want to be educated now? Why are you motivated now? That's really the first time you get to start to build that relationship and learn about that person. Because remember, it's not about you. It's about them. Developing that relationship, even when you're talking business at the beginning, is uber important. Also, I like to tell people to always have your rates in front of you. And that's because, especially if you're someone like me who doesn't like to talk about the money aspect, you can get all tripped up and all of a sudden you say, oh yeah, that's $150. Oh no, I mean $75. And you don't want to sound like you don't know your business or you're trying to give a deal or you meant to give a deal, but you didn't give a deal. You don't want to sound all over the place. So even if you know your rates, have them in front of you so you can just be super confident talking about the important fun stuff. And the business is just, well, business. And if you can have somebody do that for you, if you're not comfortable talking about the rates, even, you know, have a friend. Enlist a friend to do that part for you. Some people are great about talking numbers, and some people actually enjoy doing that and being all business. Boom, boom, boom. Karen in my office, she's the girl who runs the show there, and I just let her go full steam ahead because I just don't like dealing with it. But no matter how you handle it, have a protocol. Stay strong with that protocol. So we just talked about the business part. Now, the developing the relationship part really started with the business part, but it continues, and it's probably the most important part of that first session. And I remember when I first started counseling people, all I wanted to do was give information. I want to get that person in my office and tell them everything I know. And that is such a common mistake that is made. But what we really need to remember is that person's coming in and they're maybe, hesitant, or maybe they're super motivated, or maybe they were fully pushed in the door by their wife or their husband or their friend. But you really have to understand where they are when they come in. How motivated are they? Are they nervous? Are they super excited? Are they anxious? Are they in a bad mood? Are they just maybe a grumpy person? You know, who is that person? What are they feeling? And it's really important to tap into how they're feeling being there so you can sort of take a step back and be able to do the intake part of the session by building a great relationship and listening to that person and giving them nutrition education at the right time and place and pace. Because what I always tell people in the first session is it's a partnership. It's not nutrition education and you're just going to throw it on them and it's all about what you're going to give to them. It is a complete partnership. You and the person that is sitting there with you learning nutrition from you, you two, you're teammates. You're not, you know, nutrition educator and client. You are complete teammates. You may know a lot about nutrition, but that person knows about themselves. They know themselves better than anyone. And no matter how well you know nutrition, you still don't know them as well as they know themselves. So it's a partnership with them giving you information and you giving them the most appropriate information for them. So we talked about the business part, the developing the relationship part, and now we're on to the third part of the pre-first session and first session things that you need to think about. And this is the intake part. And if you do the intake properly, by the way, we have an intake form attached to this webinar, so it's all there for you. But if you do that intake form properly, that is where you will build the relationship. You're going to naturally learn about this person, build a wonderful rapport, hopefully, and relationship with them without having to just sort of, you know, make small talk at the beginning of the session. It should naturally happen. And that is why the business part, the developing the relationship part, and the intake part, all three of these things really go together from the first moment you speak to that person on the phone or from the first moment they email you and then you set up a phone call. So it's all really working together during the pre-session and the first session. So when you're done with this webinar, I want you to take a look at the intake handout, or you can download it right now, however you want to do it. But I want you to take a look at that intake form and read through all the questions. And then I want you to add some of your own. You don't have to, but there may be questions that you want to ask that I don't ask. The most important thing is when you're asking all of these questions, whether they're mine from the form or they're your own, you want to make sure that you know why you are asking the question. There's certain information that you want to be gathering from those questions. So don't just ask them and just let them give you any answer. You might need to ask follow-up questions. Also, you need to listen, listen, listen. Because sometimes you ask a question and you may even get the answer that you're looking for, but there may be other information in that answer that's filled with juicy information about that person that you need to make sure that you have a great follow-up question for, because it's a whole wealth of information about that person. Here's an example. You may ask someone what their sleep routine is like and how many hours of sleep a night they get. And they may answer that question starting with, well, when I'm in the kitchen at 11 o'clock at night, and then they go on. And you may end up getting your answer of 6 or 7 hours a night. But if you move right on, you've just missed a huge opportunity to find out why are they in the kitchen at 11 o'clock at night. So you need to make sure that you listen and you get the answers that you need, but you also are open-minded for those wonderful follow-up questions. And of course, listen without judgment. There's one thing that I didn't mention that I do at the very beginning before the intake. And I actually even do it before the person comes into the office. When I am having that business conversation pre-first session, I tell people what they're going to get 60 to 75 minutes of gathering of information. It's all about that intake, because I don't want them to expect to go home with one big old long plan on that first session when that's not going to happen. So at the end of these 60 to 75 minutes where I've done this full intake and I've gathered all this information, I always tell people, you're going to do the majority of the talking in that first session. The second session, it's going to be the majority me. See, we're working as partners, we're teammates, but you're just going to take the lead the first time. So after we've done this intake and they have given me all of this great information about them, it comes down to the last part that I tell them that they're going to get in that first session. And that's a few takeaways, a few tips to get them going for the next week. But before I get there, there's one other thing that does come into play. And that is the big old W. Weigh, weigh, weigh. Do you weigh or do you not weigh? People are either great with the scale or terrible with the scale. And it really depends on the individual. For the majority of the individuals that I work with, I prefer to weigh them, but for me to monitor it and for them to not even look at it. Some people can really handle the scale, and they have a great relationship with the scale, and they can weigh themselves every morning. It doesn't affect their mood. It doesn't affect what they're going to eat. It actually helps them stay a little bit in control. It's a good monitoring system. I mean, research has even shown that scales can be very beneficial with maintaining your weight. However, for a large percentage of people out there, the scale is a really bad tool and a really tough relationship. I'll never forget, I had a client come into my office and she was so thrilled, so happy with her new way of eating. She was energetic. She told me that she'd taken in her pants 2 inches at the tailor, all of her pants. She was going to the gym regularly. Her food journals were gorgeous. I mean, she was eating so consistently, but not meticulously, that she was never allowing herself a conscious indulgence. So excited, she gets on the scale, she's down 1 pound. It set off tears and tears and tears. She was so upset, and it really threw her completely off. She actually emailed me the next day and told me that she'd gone and eaten 3 slices of pizza, and she was back on track. We did get her back on track the next day, and we worked on that relationship with the scale. But that's a perfect example of where this person, and I wish I had known that she'd had such a terrible relationship. I don't think she even knew that she had such a terrible relationship with the scale, to be honest. But if she had not looked at the number, she would have walked out feeling even more excited. Maybe she would have even tried some new healthy recipe that night. Maybe she would have even done a double workout. Or she was so excited and so thrilled, and I was so proud of her, and she left miserable. And we all know that the scale is just a number, and usually it's just a made-up number. Where do these numbers even come from? No one ever says, I want to weigh 156.3 pounds. It's always rounded. So why all of a sudden is it 150? Or why all of a sudden is it 185? You know, where do these numbers even come from? We create these numbers in our head, and we use them to measure our success when often they're not even good measurements to begin with. I also like to remind people that you can come into the office one day and weigh 2 pounds down, but you could be doing terrible work. It could be just because you maybe had the stomach flu for 2 days. It might not be real weight. Or you could come into the office with a beautiful food journal and have not lost any weight. And that could be just because, you know what, it might be 2 more days and the scale might show up being down 4 pounds. And I always tell people, it's the work you're doing. The weight will be a byproduct. And at worst case scenario, you'll be healthier, you'll have more energy, you'll be preventing disease, you'll just be an overall healthier, happier person, even if at worst case scenario, the scale doesn't go down. But if you just focus on the scale and you don't focus on the work and you don't focus on the behaviors and you don't focus on all these other aspects of drinking more water and sleeping more, then all it's going to do is torment you. So if you can handle the scale and you can handle that number and it does help you, but you have to be really honest with yourself, and you have to help your clients get to a place of being honest about the relationship with the scale, then it can be an okay thing. But for the majority of the people out there, I don't like them to look at it. I use it for me to help me monitor them, but I really like them to get on backwards and not even look at the number. Another thing I want to remind you, and to remind you to tell all of your clients, is that the scale also is a number that really fluctuates. You can have someone that comes in at, let's just say, 150 pounds, But that 150 pounds might be the low end of their range. Maybe they normally are 150 to 154, and they just happen to come in on a day and get weighed where, well, they're at their 150, they're at their low. The next time, they could actually be doing amazing work. They may have even been, you know, technically lost weight, but on the scale, they come in at 150 because their range has moved to 147 to 150, but they're just coming in on a day where they are at the 150. They're at the high end of their range, but their range has moved. And that's something that then can be also very devastating to somebody who says, my clothing fit better, and I feel better, and I've been eating so well. How do I weigh the same? Another reason why I don't love the scale. For so many people, it brings up negative feelings, and negative feelings where really that person should be feeling positive when they've been doing great work. So you really need to assess yourself and your clients and decide whether or not they are going to be clients that get weighed or don't get weighed at all, or you weigh them and don't even talk about the number. That's my preference. That's where usually I'd say about 80% of my clients fall. But just because I'm not a huge fan of the scale does not mean I don't like people to have goals. They can still have a goal number that I monitor, and we keep relative and we don't refer to too often. And I also like people to choose a clothing item. Sometimes for guys, it's a belt buckle. For women, it's a certain pair of jeans or their little black dress that they love. Whatever that item is, I do like to have a goal clothing item because it's always fun to put something on and feel great in it. And that is something that's tangible, but not so quantitative. I wrap up the session by telling people that in the next session, they're going to get their big plan that's customized for them. But I like to give them something that they can still put into action over the course of the next few days or week. I like to give people a couple, two or maximum three, manageable and measurable goals. When I say manageable and measurable, what I mean is a couple things that really aren't going to be high pressure. They're not going to be overwhelming, but they can put them into play right away and they can measure it. For example, a manageable and measurable goal may be somebody that only drinks diet soda. You may say, I want you to start drinking 4 glasses of water every day. Manageable. Everybody can drink 4 glasses of water a day. They can measure it. They can report back to me that they've done 4 glasses every day, or maybe a couple days they only got 2 in, maybe a couple days they got 6 in. But it's something that they can keep track of, feel positive about, and it being manageable is super important because I want that person coming back into the office already having made tweaks to their lifestyle, feeling positive, but not having been overwhelmed. I want them to come back being even more motivated and even more excited, knowing that, wow, I'm going to take a lot of these small steps and I'm going to have a much better rockin' life. I also give somebody when they leave a folder filled with handouts. It sounds a little kind of 1982, but handouts and tangible items are still important. And I have a whole bunch of them attached to this webinar, so you can take them and make copies of them for your clients. So I still give people a whole bunch of handouts, and I tell them that these are not customized for you. These are just our overall nutritious life information. And if you want to read it, great, get ahead of the game. If you don't, no problem. You can read it after the next session when you get your own customized plan. So there you have it. The first session, you've done your business, you've developed a relationship, you've done your intake, you've given someone manageable and measurable goals, and you're ready to rock and roll with their plan to get them going for the next time you see them. Session 2. So if the fun stuff started with session 1, this is really like the Mac Daddy fun part. I mean, this is where I get so excited because we're giving them their plan. We are setting these people up for their nutritious life. And this is the session where they get all the juicy info that is specific and tailored to them. Sometimes, though, someone will walk in feeling hesitant, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have committed to this now. I don't know if I can make these changes. Other times, people are like, let's get going. And you really have to read the person when they come in. How have they done in the past week? How have they handled those two manageable and measurable goals? Did they put them into place? Are they so excited? Did they clear out their afternoon to go to the grocery store after this session? Or are they walking in with, I only have half an hour to do this right now? It's really important to get a sense of where that person is in their mind when they come in to your office or your coffee shop or your home or your training studio on that second session, because it will dictate your tone and how you present the plan to them. So the plan, what happens here? I have all of these handouts attached to the webinar. Again, so don't worry. You don't need to hear every detail from me in this webinar. You're going to have a whole lot of fun stuff to download and use as your own personal templates for your own clients. The first thing I do is go through the letter. The letter to someone is this Nutritious Life letter that goes through the Nutritious Life philosophy, the things we've talked about in previous webinars, the 8 pillars of a nutritious life, but with specific goals and tips to that person, a specific tip about sleep for that person, or a specific tip about managing stress for that person. I also have in that letter a review of those 4 components that we talked so much about in a previous webinar as well: the proportions, portions, nutrient density, and your HQ food timing. I review that again as well, and make it specific and give specific examples about those 4 components of the meal plan to them in their lives. I like to have somebody read that letter on their own quietly while I sit there, and I usually read it over again and maybe jot down a few notes, or I run to the bathroom and give them a little bit of space, or if I'm running behind, I can even have someone read that in the waiting room, but generally I don't do that. I like to be sitting there with the person, but I let that person read it over on their own and digest it on their own first. And then I always start with one first question. Do you think I got you? It always makes me happy when someone says, have you been stalking me on Instagram? Or are you following me? Because then I know that they really know that I got them. That first session, that intake, developing the relationship, gathering all that information really paid off, and I know this person, and I know what they need to help them live their most nutritious life. Now we're moving into the meal plan. The meal plan, you have that chart attached to the webinar as well, goes hand in hand with the portion guide. And I always make a copy for myself and for the client, and we go through it together. Here we have the meal plan template. And you'll notice at the top, there is something that says the food timing HQ. I remind people that that is on that scale of 1 to 10. 10 is famished, 1 is stuffed. And no matter what people are doing within this plan here, I always want their HQ to be between a 4 and a 6. Then I give them a reminder of proportions. Proportions of nutrients is the carbs to fat to protein ratio. And I remind them that starches have some carbs and protein, fruit has some carbs, vegetables have some carbs and protein, and so on. Then I go to proportions. And I remind people that all of the foods listed here contain a certain proportion of carbs, fats, and protein. Carbs, fats, and protein are the only 3 nutrients that are going to provide calories. Remember, even vegetables contain a little bit of protein. Then I move on to portions. For each meal, you'll notice there are check marks associated with different food groups. For example, we see the starch right here. The individual is supposed to have a starch with each breakfast. So what exactly does that check mark represent? Well, the portion guide is loaded with specific brands, but it also has a generic serving for each category. For example, within the starch serving, there's cereals. A generic portion would be a half a cup of cereal, but I also go through and give example portions for specific cereals. Obviously, there's some cereals that are more caloric than others. The reason I use the check marks is because as much as I give specific portions, check marks are supposed to make this whole thing a little bit more gray. Because for one person, a starch serving might be the exact generic portion, but for someone else, it might actually be 2 portions, or it might be just a little bit more. And also remember, as much as we're giving portions as guidelines, the most important thing is to have the right proportion of nutrients and then also listen to your body. If you eat according to the right proportions, meaning if you eat the right type, the right check marks, and you listen to your body, and you follow your HQ, your portions are going to check out. The portion guide is really just that. It's a guideline. It's a starting place. So then the final part of this puzzle is nutrient density. For those portions and the right proportions of food that you're eating at the right time, you want them to be the most nutrient dense. I've already told you about nutrient density, getting the most out of the calories you're consuming. All of the examples that I give in the portion guide are generally the most nutrient dense foods. A few other things about this meal plan that I want to mention before we go on to a sample are these. I like people to be strict with their portion of starch. That's because even though, yes, you need to listen to your HQ and you might need a little bit more, starting being strict with your portion is going to help you best really understand what a portion is for you. Many people have been overeating pasta for so long, they don't have an understanding and they don't realize that with the proper amount of lean protein and vegetables at that same meal, they really only need a small portion. So if you're strict with your portion of starch in the beginning of this game here, it's going to be much easier to understand how much you may need. And you may realize really that that portion that I've given you in this guide is exactly what you need. When you're hungry at a meal, I remind you to go for more vegetables and more lean protein. Remember, vegetables are going to fill you up with more fiber and water volume and very little calories. And lean protein, well, that protein is so satisfying. It provides satiety. And just a couple more bites for just, let's say, even 35 to 70 more calories can be so satisfying that it may actually end up saving you calories later on. So when you're hungry at a meal, first go for more vegetables, then maybe a little more protein if you're really hungry, but stay strict with that starch portion and also stay strict with that fat portion because we know that fat has more than double the amount of calories per gram than protein and carbs. And yes, you'll notice there is fat at every single meal, and I want you to have fat, and I want at least 30% of your calories to come from fat, but you still need to be careful with the portion because even having a little bit every meal, you're still going to hit those numbers. The last couple things I want to mention on this portion guide are you want to eat consistently throughout the day, but you may be a breakfast, snack, lunch, dinner person. You might not be a breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, dinner person. So that's up to you to customize for you or to customize for your client. Also, you'll notice there's only one starch serving here. That's because most people are going to get enough carbs throughout the rest of their day. And this is also really what I say phase one. I usually have people do this for a week or two, and then we shift into adding either another starch portion or another fruit portion. But for some people that are really getting enough lean protein or might have a little bit more fat in their diet, they might not ever need to add in the starch or the fruit. You need to remember to customize and to keep in mind your specific client. I also remind you here to get in two veggies at dinner. It's always good to get in the habit of having at least two vegetables, whether it's a salad and a side vegetable or two side vegetables. So here's an example of how to use this chart in conjunction with the portion guide. For that check mark for the starch, a half a cup of cooked steel-cut oatmeal with a little cinnamon. For the milk, yogurt, or dairy alternative, we've got 1 cup of unsweetened almond milk. And then for the fat, we've got a tablespoon of ground flaxseed. Pretty simple, straightforward. This is an example of a meal that might be the perfect meal, fast, on the go for someone before work when they're at home. But I like the check marks because I like people to know that regardless of where they are in the world, whether they're at a roadside diner in Minnesota or at a cafe in Paris, they can fill in those check marks perfectly and not feel like they're off track. For example, let's just think about Paris. I like that example better than a roadside diner. Let's think about that cafe in Paris instead of the roadside diner. That's a more fun, exotic example. So for that starch, maybe it's not the half cup of cooked steel-cut oatmeal, but perhaps it's a small piece of a baguette. And you know what? Maybe it's not even whole wheat. So it's not as nutrient dense as this oatmeal, but it's still portioned, and that person is still listening to their body and getting up and having their breakfast. And perhaps instead of the ground flaxseed, it's the lean protein instead, and it's 1 soft-boiled egg. And perhaps it's a cappuccino instead of the cup of almond milk. But you know what? That cappuccino might be whole milk. And you know what? That's okay too, even though they usually have, this person has the almond milk at home. It's the check marks enable you to be able to eat in proportion and portion, do the best job you possibly can with nutrient density, given the meal you're having, where you are in the world, what's going on, how much time you have, what your access and availability to food is. And then, of course, you always will be listening to your body and following your HQ. After the meal plan, I give a little quiz. I usually tell people I don't like them to feel like they're in fifth grade again, but it's so helpful. I give them a blank meal plan template, and I ask them to use that template along with the front page of the meal plan with all those check marks that we just talked about and the portion guide and create a sample day. And sometimes people say, oh yeah, I can do this. I know what I'm doing. Always want them to do it in front of me because usually something comes up. Oh, well, can I have more vegetables here? Am I allowed to have another fat? Can I eat more starch here? People always want to know. Something comes up. And it's just a really good way to sort of solidify some of the things we just went through. When you have to do something on your own, think about it. It's like driving a car. If you're the one in the driver's seat, you'll remember how you got somewhere. If you're in the passenger seat, even if you're kind of noticing, you don't remember as well. You need to be in the driver's seat. So I always like to put my clients in the driver's seat before I let them out of the office. The final part of going through the meal plan and the Nutritious Life letter is looking at some specifics to that person. Some people need a very detailed grocery list. Some people need a very specific list for snacks for work. Other people need specific dining out options at specific restaurants. It really depends. And in the handouts attached for you, I have a whole bunch of different scenarios of ways that you need to tailor the meal plan. But for everyone, there is the Nutritious Life letter, the meal plan, and the portion guide. To wrap up the second session, I confirm their next appointment, which, by the way, I usually have made 4 to 8 appointments when I make that first session. I think it's always important for accountability for the person to already have their appointments scheduled. So we confirm that appointment, and I finish up the second session with my expectations for food journaling and what our correspondence will be like over the course of the next week. I always tell them that I'm going to reach out to them in a couple days, and I also confirm the next appointment, but I also let them know that they can reach out to me. Text or email works for me. We're going to talk a little bit more about correspondence later on, but what's really important here is that people know that they can reach out to you, whether it's to find out about a specific ingredient in some food they're buying or what to order at a restaurant or to discuss that they're having some difficulty with emotional eating. If it's too much to get into on text or email and they need to wait until the next session, that's okay. You don't have to drop everything at 11:30 at night and speak to the person for an hour, but you should be there for them to communicate with and you should be able to respond in an appropriate manner, even if that appropriate manner to the question is, we're going to cover that in detail in the next session, but here's a few pointers in the meantime. I want people to walk out of my office feeling so inspired and so excited to make the changes they need to make in their life, to be healthier, to lose weight, to feel better, to look better, whatever their goals are. I want them just to walk out feeling like, wow, I am so excited to conquer this whole Nutritious Life thing. The third session, so important because now the client has been implementing, or we're hoping has been implementing, this awesome plan you put together for them. I always start the third session with, how are you feeling? Just how are you feeling? How's your energy? Does your clothing feel any differently? Does your skin look any different? Has your sex drive gone up? Are you feeling great just mentally that you're putting healthy foods into your body? What's going on? And usually I follow that question with just what's working and what's not working. And when I say what's working, I always say, what's working that you feel like you could do 360, notice I didn't say 365, days a year? What are things that you think you've changed that really can just become real long-term habits? And then we start creating what I call the I am a rock star list. I also have this I'm a rock star list attachment to this webinar, so you can create one for yourself and you can also create one for all of your clients. What I do there is I write down with them the things that are working great. And they can be simple things. It could be adding in vegetables every night at dinner or drinking 8 glasses of water a day. They can be super simple things or they can be major life changes. I like people to create this list because, here's the why. At some point, that person will come in and say, I haven't lost as much weight, or I'm still having these sugar cravings, or I've been really picking in the afternoon at work. I feel like I'm just not getting there. And they might be beating themselves up a little bit. And the best thing in the world to do when that happens is to pull out that I'm a rock star list. And I say, really, you don't think you're making progress? You feel like you've plateaued, or you feel kind of down in the dumps about all these changes you've made? Look what you've done. Look at all of these things you're doing. Yes, we have a list over on the other side of the page of things that we're still working on. But look at this long list of things that you're doing great. You used to have 10 packets of Equal a day. Now you don't have any artificial sweetener. You used to drink 4 sodas a day. Now you only drink seltzer. I mean, the list can go on and on. And often people still beat themselves up. And it's our job, my job, and your job to remind people of all the things that they're doing right. Because I'm telling you, there's nothing more motivating for people than to see all of these other behaviors and things they're doing. And a lot of the time, it's not related to food. They're making all of these other changes in their life that's affecting their health and their weight and their happiness that they don't even realize, or they're not even thinking about, because they're just beating themselves up about maybe that they had chocolate cake the night before. It could be, you know, that they're sleeping more consistently and getting 7 hours of sleep, or that they're doing a meditation every day and they're managing their stress. All of those things we put on the what is working and what they are doing well. The I am a rock star list comes in handy, I promise you. Now that I've gotten you through these first 3 sessions, I want to address some of the common mistakes that come up. Because believe me, I have made a whole bunch of them. We all do, but that's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm doing this program, because I want to help you. And if I've made them, maybe I can help you avoid some of them or help you come up with some solutions to these mistakes. So here are a few mistakes, and there are a whole bunch more attached in the handout. So if I don't touch on one that's a common mistake that you may have made, there are more there listed, and you may have just made one of those. And if you haven't made any of them, well, high five to you. Read them anyway, because you should know so you avoid them in the future. 1, giving too much information. I'm a talker and I love educating and I get so excited with all this nutrition information. And I think that many of us that have a passion for health and wellness fall into that same trap. We just want to give so much information. But you know what? That person out there that's coming to you for help and wants to be guided, it can be overwhelming for them. It can just be too much. So you have to really know how to pull in the reins and give maybe a little bit less, but super useful information. The next common mistake is getting too sciencey. We love the science. We're into nutrition, health, and wellness, and medicine, and we love learning about the science and the research and the studies. And I know I can get way too sciencey. My inner geek just loves to come out. But many clients out there don't want all the science. Yes, they want to know the why they are doing things, but they don't want all the science. Some people may, and you have to read that person carefully or even ask them, say, hey, do you want to know all the details here? And give it to them. But for most people out there, they don't really want all that science. They want to leave that to you. They just want to know the why. A final mistake that's very common, and I tell all of the registered dietitians in my office this, one of the first things I tell them when they start working here is do not be afraid about not knowing something. Be confident, and be confident knowing that it's okay not to know everything, especially in the field of nutrition. There are new studies coming out every day. Nutrition is a new science. It's growing, it's evolving, and you can't possibly know everything. Know what you know, be confident in what you know, and be confident knowing that it's okay not to know everything. And you can always say, I'm going to get back to you on that. And that is perfectly okay. Okay, so we just talked about mistakes that I've made, that maybe you've made, that we as nutrition healthcare providers don't want to make again. But now I want to talk about problematic clients. I'm going to give you a couple scenarios of problematic clients and how I would deal with them. But I'm also going to quiz you at the end and give you a few scenarios so you can work through how you would handle them, so you can be best prepared to deal with those types of clients and hopefully all types of clients. One example that comes to mind is the client that says, I'm just not losing weight. This just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. I should be losing weight. I can't tell you how many clients I've had like this, but one specifically comes to mind. She was looking to lose weight after having a baby, and she wasn't losing fast enough. And all of her mommy friends were in their jeans and wearing their little skirts and their little jeans again, and she felt like the whole world around her just seems to lose baby weight right away. Now, this person was doing pretty much everything right, way more right than I was doing after 4 months of having a baby. And she was diligent and working out and eating right. And she was just determined that her weight was supposed to go down. It was supposed to go down X pounds a week, and that was it. She was also nursing. After much dialogue about this, that the obvious, that she has a healthy baby at home, that she is putting, you know, wonderful foods into her body, and she's replenishing her stores of calcium, and she's fueling her body with lots of healthy nutrients, including omega-3s, which are important for her and her baby. After going through all of those things, it still came back to, I want to lose X pounds a week. That's it. I need to lose those X pounds. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. I'm eating everything right. And I reminded this client of what I tell so many people. Your body is not a bank account. You don't put in $10, take out one, and have nine left. There are so many other factors at play. Genes, hormones, sleep, stress, hydration, all of these other factors play a role, and we can't control all of those things perfectly. But what we can control is the foods that we're putting into our mouth and the behaviors and habits we have. And that is why when you focus on the positive behaviors, I told this person in particular, you know, you're doing all of these amazing things that so many new moms wouldn't dream of being that dedicated and diligent to even do, like getting her greens in twice a day and getting to the gym and drinking her water and taking naps while the baby napped. All of these things this person was doing so well. And instead, she was so focused on the number that it completely derailed all of that positive energy that she could have had that ultimately could have reduced her stress and helped her lose more weight. So you have to stand strong with certain things like that. And when she was sitting there so upset, I had to stay strong with the, your body's not a bank account. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way for anyone. The only thing we can do is stay diligent and consistent with these great behaviors. And that's when I would whip out the I'm a rock star handout. For someone like her that was so incredibly upset about the weight, the I'm a rock star handout might not work as much or be as impactful at that moment. But when that person takes that home, it's going to resonate. It will get there. I mean, I even remember getting an email from this person later on that evening saying, thank you so much for being so supportive. I am so inspired to stay on the right track. I know I just needed somebody to sort to give me that information. Sometimes people actually need to be put in their place a little bit in terms of knowing that they shouldn't be beating themselves up. And sometimes that's all someone needs to hear, and that's what you need to stay strong with. Your body's not a bank account. Our bodies are not machines. There's a lot of other factors involved, and we have to stay true and focused on doing all the good things for our bodies, and the weight loss will eventually be a byproduct of that. The next problematic type of client, well, isn't as emotional as, let's say, that first example I just gave you. This is more of a business situation and how to handle it. What do you do with the client that cancels all the time and then may cancel an hour before or a half hour before? First of all, I believe in having a 24-hour cancellation policy. You need to have that policy, and that's actually part of the first session, taking care of business. They need to sign that in that first session. I also believe that policies are meant to be broken every once in a while. And if someone has not canceled before and they are not constantly canceling, even emailing that morning, well, you know what? Let it slide one time. But if that person continues to cancel, especially within the 24 hours, you need to adhere to your policy and charge that person, whether it's you charge them for the full session or you charge them 50%, you need to adhere to that policy after that one-time sort of freebie. But that's the business aspect. Let's get into the, why is this person canceling? Are they not motivated? Are they maybe doing all the work and they think, well, I don't really need to come in? Or are they not doing the work and they're embarrassed, but they actually are motivated and just are having trouble putting it all together? That's your job to figure out. Here's what I would do. I would send an email saying, I'm sorry that you had to cancel today, And especially if something was wrong or if they, you know, blamed it on something or other, I would address that. I'm sorry that you had a trouble at work or whatever it was. But I'd love to get you on the phone for even 2 minutes. And I offer up a few times. I give them those times so they can respond with, yes, this time Tuesday at 8:45 works. So I put down a few times and then I have them respond with an exact time and then I call them at that time. I address the fact that it's absolutely okay if they're feeling less motivated. Many people are actually embarrassed or they feel like they're going to disappoint you. And I always say, listen, first of all, I'm just here to help you. I just want to know what's going on so I can get you either back in this office or we can pick it up in a month or even 6 weeks. That's okay to let people off the hook a little bit if they're not in the right place. You never know what's going on in someone's life. They could have somebody that's sick in their family. They could be going through something at work. You don't always know everything going on. So it's up to you to get just enough information to help them continue on the course of their nutritious life, but in a way that they don't feel overwhelmed, in a way that they feel motivated and excited and not pressured. This scenario might play out in a couple different ways. It might play out with someone saying to me, oh, you know what, I wanted to come in, but I switched jobs, and now that I've switched jobs, I don't have that salad place to go to for lunch, and so now I've been getting pizza with everyone here, and I'm just in a rut with it. And so what I'll say is, well, you know what, that's actually when you should come in. Don't come in after you've gained weight because you've switched jobs. Come in now, and let's create a plan for this new situation in your life. And usually that person will say, I know, I didn't even think about that because I was just focused on the job, and then I felt kind of bad about myself that I gained a couple pounds, and I'll get them right back in. Another way it might play out is that someone might say, I'm moving, and I'm also traveling abroad, and I have 3 other things going on right now, so I'm just so overwhelmed, and so I really just can't get in. So what I'll do with that person is say, you know what, let's not even worry about it right now. Take all the pressure off, and I'll send them an email with a few things to focus on. Perhaps it's their hydration and their maybe meditation, but I'll address a few things that they can do, even with all of these things going on. And then I'll say, let's make an appointment for 4 weeks or 6 weeks from now when you're kind of through this chunk of craziness going on. So that way, the pressure's off. They don't need to focus on every aspect of their nutritious life at the moment, but they do know that in the future, they are still being held accountable and they're getting back into this office. So the pressure is off, but they also know, okay, it's not just I'm throwing in the towel and, you know, getting totally off course. So that usually works really well as well. Okay, we went through the first 3 sessions. We went through some common mistakes that we all make, and we went through some common problematic clients. Just like you're going to give plans to clients, I hope I've given you a plan to help you help as many people out there. I want you to go download the handouts with this webinar, take that quiz, and go crush it. Go find 3 new people today that you can help set on the right path.